What's going on, Ivy League Hoop fans? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Ivy Hoops from our studios in West Lebanon, New Hampshire. It's Brett Franklin and Jill Glessner, the coach, with you here from the Ivy League Network. Episode number 3 of Inside Ivy Hoops underway. We got a great show for you coming up. 3 guests, of course, all with their knowledge and their respective schools. Allison Guth, head coach of Yale women's basketball, going to join us. Brian Earle, the head coach of Cornell men's basketball. And George Clark from Ivy Hoops Online, going to talk Princeton and Penn men's and women's hoops. So lots to get to on the show. And Jill, good to see you again. Another episode here underway.
It's good to be here, Brett, and that you called me a coach. It's now, I think, I'm like 3 years removed.
Has it been a while since you've been addressed as coach? Or
yeah.
do people still say it in the hallway and you kind of look over? And I mean, you do kind of work in a building with a ton of coaches, so that could kind of throw you for a loop.
Yeah, but, no, there's a very administration's on one side and
but you're
coaches
too,
on the other.
You're too relaxed and you're too springy right now. So that's how I know you're not in the coaching.
I don't have
world
any more
right
gray
now.
Hairs, that's for sure.
Well, we got a good show. Great guest coming up. All right, let's start with men's basketball, Jill, and we'll take a look at what happened last week before we look ahead to this week. And we saw some interesting results on the Friday night, where we saw Yale, Princeton, and Penn all come away with victories. Penn and Princeton both sweeping their respective series over the weekend against Columbia and Cornell. But the game that we were really excited about, really focused on, was Yale and Brown down in New Haven. And that game didn't disappoint, unless you're a fan of the Bears, because poor free throw shooting down the line kind of costed you one there.
We had Coach Mike Martin, the head coach of Brown, on the podcast last week, and I feel like, Brett, that I did the whole like broadcaster jinx because I was commending him on their great free throw percentage as a team, first in the Ivy League, 76%, and then the game actually ended up coming down to the wire, and they were 58% from the free throw line, 18 of 31. So they missed 13 chances. If they shoot their 76%, they win that game. So I really felt for Coach Martin.
You look at Princeton and Penn. Penn wins their 10th straight over Cornell, 69-61, in a game that the Big Red, they played well in that building, and just the defense down the stretch really costed them there. A.J. Broder had a big game. He had 18 points. And you look at Princeton with their really a convincing win over the Columbia Lions. Kennedy with 17 in that contest. What was some of the takeaways you saw from Penn and Princeton last weekend?
I mean, Princeton's offense is just so good. I mean, Kennedy's leading the way, but you have, you know, Stevens who can score. I mean, and they made 10 threes in that Cornell game. They shot 54%. So, like, I think the red hot shooting, you know, if they can keep shooting that way, keep getting their defense better, they're going to be hard to beat.
It's a nice response coming off that loss to Penn to open up Ivy play. So if you're a Tigers fan, this is what you're loving to see. And then you look at that Penn in a Columbia game. I mean, it was the Broder-Bentley show. Both of those guys had big nights.
Right. Well, and don't forget Mike Smith from Columbia. He had 27 points, 23 of them coming in the second half. And, you know, you got to credit Penn for closing the game out. It was a late rally by Columbia, 2-point game with 49 seconds to go, and Penn was able to ice it at the free throw line.
Broder and Bentley combined for 50 points in that contest out of the 77 they scored.
And I just have to commend, I mean, Broder, who is, you know, freshman year, he's a back to the basket. He's a post player, and they have moved him to the four. He made 6 threes in that game. So the fact that he has now stretched his range out from behind the arc makes him very, very hard to guard.
Let's look at this week's upcoming contest on the men's side, and let's just get right back to the contest we were talking about. Yale at Brown. You know, you got to imagine, as we mentioned, Mike Martin really going to be preaching, guys, we've got to be able to not only hit our free throws when we're given the chance, but I felt that they ran with Yale pretty well, got up and down the floor with them. I expect the same here in this contest, but it'll be interesting to see if this game gets tight. How does Brown respond?
Well, and I think, you know, the injury bug, which has hit Yale.
Right.
Blake Reynolds went down towards the end of that of that game. So I don't have an update. I don't know if he's going to be playing. But if he's out, you know, that's another man down for Yale.
Other Ivy matchups coming up this weekend. We've got Cornell at Columbia. We're going to talk to Brian Earle, head coach of Cornell men's basketball, and get his thoughts on the Lions coming up this weekend. But both teams are going to be hungry for their first Ivy League win. And when you've got two teams that match up well against one another and are seeking that, try to get that monkey off their back here to start Ivy play, I mean, both these teams are going to be scratching and clawing in this one in New York City.
Well, something that I noticed from the first weekend of Ivy League play was all the home teams won. So I am leaning towards Columbia home team. I know we're having Brian Earle coming on the show, so nothing against that.
Maybe
but
he can convince you
maybe
otherwise.
Maybe he can, yes.
But. And then the game that we have right here in our own backyard, Harvard, Dartmouth, 7 o'clock tip-off on Saturday night. Look back at the first contest, and Dartmouth was down by as much as 15 in Cambridge. They were able to come back, take the lead at one point late in that contest. But Harvard just had too much firepower down the stretch. Dave McLaughlin saying on his radio show here in the Upper Valley that probably fatigue kind of kicked in there late in that contest. Looking at this one here, Harvard's deep. They are athletic. But I can also say that it's been sort of a disappointment, I think, if you ask some Crimson fans, in the way the non-conference play has gone, just 6-10 in non-conference play. But they're going to be a handful, and Dave McLaughlin saying that this week on his radio show that it's going to be all hands on deck Saturday night.
I mean, they're definitely underperforming, but with that said, they have some very talented players. So even if they are underperforming, they're still capable of getting W's. But I think a key for Dartmouth, I mean, the fact that they were in that game at Harvard was because of Miles Wright. He had 23 points that game, so he's going to have to hit from inside and outside.
Biggest guy I think that Dartmouth's going to have to key in on is Seth Towns. Can they stop him averaging 13.5 points per game coming into this contest? And, you know, Dartmouth has had a tough stretch of games. I mean, they've been shooting the ball very well, though. You look at the game against Boston College, they are only down by three down in the Heights. And then the game against UVM last Wednesday, or a week from Wednesday, Dartmouth shot 58% from the field and hit 11 threes, but still lost to a very good Vermont team. So Big Green are shooting the ball well. If they can continue that trend here Saturday, they've got a good chance.
Well, going back to that BC game, Brett, something that stood out for me was that they had 26 bench points. So I do think that, you know, the bench is going to be key in this game on Saturday as well. Ian Sestere came off the bench, went 5 for 5. Chris Knight, who usually averages double figures, only had 4 points. But having 26 bench points is huge.
So again, the game's coming up this weekend in the Ancient Eight. Yale at Brown, Friday night, 8 o'clock. Penn is in action on Saturday, but it's a non-conference tilt. They'll host Temple, Cornell at Columbia, and Harvard at Dartmouth. That rounds out the men's side of things on the Ancient Eight. All right, let's look at the women's side of things. We'll start with last week, Jill, and lots of things to gather here from last week. And we'll start on Friday night, which saw Yale really handedly take care of Brown down in New Haven. Brown was one of your preseason favorites, Jill, and Yale, who will talk to Allison Guth, head coach of the Bulldogs, coming up in just a little bit, but had to be surprised by the way things went in that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was a little bit of both, Brett. I think Yale played really, really well, and Brown didn't play well. So it was a bad combo for the Bears.
Yeah, shooting 30-something percent throughout the contest for a team that can put a lot of points up. That was something unusual for the Bears. But, I mean, when we look at the Bulldogs, I mean, is this a serious team that can contend for that four spot?
Yale is definitely a contender for that four spot, and they could even creep into maybe the third spot. They're playing really well. They have some great non-conference wins, and the fact that they had they executed their game plan so well against Brown, who was picked to the top of the league. So I would say, yeah, they're definitely competing for one through four.
No surprise with Penn and Princeton sweeping their weekend series, but what were the takeaways that you saw from the Quakers and Tigers?
Well, the takeaways that I got were actually from Cornell and Columbia, just that I think that it's going to be six teams competing for those four spots. And, you know, no disrespect to a Columbia or a Cornell, but I just don't think their level is there yet. You know, Dana Smith at Cornell has lost five senior starters. You know, Columbia, Meg Griffith is her second year still in that rebuilding mode. But just from the games that I've watched so far, I think six teams are really going to battle it out for four spots.
How about Penn, as we record this, coming off a huge win against Villanova? It's kind of head-scratching. Not that, you know, they're playing bad. I mean, you know, there was a lot of hype, and they were picked to win the Ivy League again. But I think, again, the way that they opened up league play and really playing their style of basketball and then coming out and beating Nova, what do you make of that?
Well, I think it shows, like, that they're, you know, 18 to 20-year-olds, they're the inconsistencies, right? And whether you're home or on the road, Princeton's really the only one that has shown they're on a 7-game win streak right now coming into the league. And, you know, being consistently, playing well consistently. Whereas you said, Penn has had its up and downs, but every other team other than Princeton has had really bad losses, but then like really, really good wins. You know, you got to remind people that the women's side, they beat 4 teams in Big 5 conferences.
Let's look ahead to this weekend, and let's start Yale at Brown, 5:30 tip-off Friday in Providence. How does Brown change things here this time at home?
I'm going with the home teams, both on the men's and women's side.
Okay.
All the home teams have won.
So you think the Bears will get back on track?
I do. I think that the Bears needed a little bit of a wake-up call. I think going into that game 12-1, they were feeling pretty good about themselves. So I think it definitely got them refocused.
You mentioned Columbia Cornell. They meet in New York City Saturday, 4 o'clock tip-off there. Who gets the slight edge in this one?
Going with the home team again. I'll go with the Lions. And, I mean, Camille Zimmerman, I have to say, like, if she's on the floor, you have a chance to win. I mean, she's capable of putting up ridiculous numbers. And so coaches then are they have the predicament of, do you let Camille get her own, you know, get hers and just don't let anyone else get off? Or are you trying to stop, try to stop Zimmerman and, you know, make the others produce? So it's when you have a very well-rounded player who's performing at such a high level, I mean, it definitely helps Coach Griffith.
And the other contest, 6 o'clock on Saturday night, Dartmouth and Harvard in Cambridge. This is obviously something Harvard has circled on their calendars. They weren't thrilled with the way things came up here in Hanover.
This one makes me nervous.
This one makes you nervous if you're a big Green fan.
Yes.
And why is that?
I mean, again, Harvard at home. Dartmouth has had off for 2 weeks. And so just being able to stay in that game shape, I'm sure they're anxiously waiting to play someone other than themselves because they've just been battling against one another in that 2-week period. But I think, like you said, Harvard definitely has a chip on their shoulder. They definitely were not impressed. But I think it was a wake-up call for them. I think they were a little comfortable coming into the game.
All right, that wraps up our segment of Ivy League women's basketball, and we'll continue the conversation as we'll be talking with Yale women's head basketball coach Allison Guth. That's coming up here on Inside Ivy Hoops.